Hello, everyone. My name is DP, your Accessibility Collective Coordinator, and you are listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people. In the studio today, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective member, Lydia. Lydia, you want to say hi?
Hi.
And our podcast coordinator, Alex, who is handling the switchboard for us today. So today's show... Oh, and then we also have Marco.
Hi.
So today's show is a very fun one, and I think you're definitely going to want to tune in because we are sharing stories and a panel discussion on adaptive technology and fashion. So what exactly is adaptive fashion? Well, Lydia, you have something to say about this, so let's hear it.
All right. So according to an article by published in Kohlstaff in 2018 called Fashion is Moving Forward with Adaptive Clothing, it describes the ways in which major fashion designers and retailers such as Tommy Hilfiger and Target have launched new adaptive clothing lines, making it possible for people with disabilities to have clothing options that are the same or similar to those who are able-bodied. The article also draws upon some Census Bureau reports, most prominently the one conducted in 2016, which describe the different ways in which disabilities can affect clothing, such as people having difficulty with zippers and buttons, pulling shirts over heads, or pulling pants over legs. So up until recently, people with disabilities have often had to come up with their own solution to these kinds of issues, oftentimes physically having to sew modifications onto their own clothing. So at this point, places like Target are now striving to, quote, deliver solutions to make dressing easier. And the things that they are trying to do at this moment include things such as using magnets on buttons so they look like regular buttons, but they are much easier to open. Changing the length of backs and fronts of clothes so they're easier to get in and out of. Adjusting hems, adjusting zippers so that, again, they're magnetized. And having sort of these hidden fasteners that make taking things on and off easier, but at the same time are not like Velcro and creating a look that is childish.
Okay, so that's very cool. That's very interesting that you say that. And if the listeners want to read the article further and also want to hear what Tommy Hilfiger had to say about this, you can read at Easter Seals tech.com and type fashion moves forward with adaptive clothing on the search box. Now we will hear some pre-recording conversation where our collective member Nicole Lee had the opportunity to do, she's in a conference, a 6-day conference. She and other hard of hearing young individuals from 16 different countries like Uganda, Armenia, Hungary, Switzerland, Russia, Slovakia, Netherlands, and a lot more countries are learning about social media and the policy change tools used to advocate for accessibility and policy around that. It is to support of the Council in Europe. So she was able to ask them questions on technology and fashion. So here we're going to play for you.
Good afternoon. It's about 6 in the morning in Amsterdam right now.
And I also just came back from a conference in France where I met 37 hard of hearing young adults from 17 different countries, including Uganda, Georgia, Turkey, Armenia, Slovakia, and many others. But I was the only Canadian. I met some amazing people, and I'd like you to have a listen to what they have to say.
Hello, my name is Zeynep. I am from Turkey, and I am 27 years old. I have a speech recognition syndrome. It means undeveloped ears. So I use hearing aids, my glass. I know, it is funny, but my glass, people do not know that these glass are a recurring piece of technology. It helped me hear. Why? I have one of the rare forms of hearing loss because of my syndrome. Some people may know it is a microtia. For me, I don't have any ear canal, which means I cannot have the typical in the ear hearing aid. So I decided to buy a hearing aid like a glass. I can see better and I can hear better. So if you don't have contact star glass, it means hearing aids, I hope you can buy one. Thanks, Nicole, for this radio program. Thank you, Canada. Love from Turkey.
Zeynep, thank you so much for sharing your story. I hope one day we will meet again. And thank you, listeners from Amsterdam.
Okay. Great. So now we're going to move on to some content from our very own accessibility member, Clovis. He has given us a pre-recorded message, and he's going to explain his opinions about adaptive technology, the different challenges, and what can be improved about this process.
Hello, everyone. This is Clovis. I'm here to talk about accessible technology for the disabled people. Now, I am hard of hearing in both of my ears. I have a cochlear implant in my right ear. I've had it since I was 15 years old. Let me share my experience of what works for me and what does not work for me. So for me, I was born hard of hearing, so I never really learned to listen to sound. That is why some of the technology that is supposed to help me lock the hearing aid loop, the FM system, they don't do anything for me, because even though I can hear the sound better, it does not help me to understand the sound. So, most people, they recommend me to get an FM system for a lecture. However, in a lecture setting, it does not work unless I have somebody who I can lip read, which is why I prefer to use either patterns for my lectures. So, what does that mean? The technology not work for me. No, not that it don't work for me. It's that I have to pick the technology that works for me. My cochlear implant, it helped me to listen to music. It helped me to listen for other sound in the environment. And it helped me to hear for the sound of a referee's whistle in a game. When I watch a movie, I usually have the subtitles on, but I also enjoy the movie's music and sound effect. So for me, the sound still play a big role in my life. After all, it's hard for me to speak if I can't hear myself either. So my point about technology for the disabled people is that the person who decides what technology works best depends on the person. There are a lot of hard to hear people who can talk over the phone that can hear people talking, so for them, an Apple system works great for them. They also could use like a Google Home or Alexa without a screen. But for me, I need to have a screen to see what's going on, what the weather is. It's important clearly. So the normal Alexa would work unless I pick the one with the screen. And it's important that people understand technology does not have all the solution, and it's really frustrating sometimes when other people tell you, oh, this technology is great, this technology could fix your problem. There's not all good enough for me. For example, if you go to YouTube and turn on the automatic subtitles, you realize that a lot of the subtitles are just horrible, or like, are just flat out irritating to use. The professional subtitles you see are usually written down by humans. Now, even though the speed to text is improving year to year, there's still a way to go, and it is up to me to decide if the technology is a good fit for me. And that goes for you if you are trying to help somebody to see if the technology is a good fit. Give them the information and let them decide for themselves. Thank you very much.
Now that you have heard from Clovis, how about we listen to a pre-recorded interview where Allison had the opportunity to do so earlier this week. Here is Aaron Killen's thoughts on adaptive and technology and fashion.
Hi, I am Aaron Klein. I am originally from Vancouver, but I'm out in Toronto now for schooling. I am a PhD student in aerospace engineering. In terms of my disabilities, I live with diabetes, type 1 diabetes that I've had since I was 6 years old, as well as a learning difficulty related to writing and languages, namely second languages. And I was diagnosed with that when I was in elementary school, right as, I think when I was 12 or 13 years old. Yeah, that is more or less my bio. I think that our family has been very proactive on these issues. And sometimes it's been a struggle, but I think that we've handled them well. And I think that it provides a unique perspective.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you were a kid, how did the adaptive technology work with your quality of lifestyle?
There are two areas of this. There's the diabetic care and my learning difficulties. So for my diabetic care, when I was first diagnosed, there was not much in the way of technology that I started using when I was 6 years old. I just took two shots of insulin a day, and they're both long-acting insulins. So just a little bit of background on diabetes. With diabetes, you have to manage the amount of sugar in your blood. And the main ways that this is managed is by taking insulin if your blood sugar is too high, or exercise, which puts the insulin, the blood sugar down, and by eating food or sugar if it's too low, which puts it back up. So when I first got when I was first diagnosed when I was six, it was just two shots of insulin. And then a couple years after, I got an insulin pump, which was new at the time, and it was filled with short-acting insulin. And this meant that instead of the traditional technique where you have to kind of plan your day and plan your meals and exercise around your first shot of insulin until the next shot you take at the end of the day, having the insulin pump meant that I could be very adaptive. I could sit down to eat lunch and decide how much I was going to eat, or if I was going to have dessert in that moment. If I wanted to go play basketball or hang out or run around after school or on a weekend, I could adjust my insulin levels on the fly. So that was the first big use of technology for me. Then that was how I managed my diabetes for quite a while. I eventually went off the insulin pump, but I kept the same technique of using a lot of short-acting insulin, which again was a new advancement in the medical community. And so having that short-acting insulin and the insulin pump meant that I had more control in the moment for my life. I could make decisions the way that normal people do. If you want to have a bigger lunch or you want to exercise, you can just decide to do that right then, not when you took your insulin in the morning. The next big advancement was a continuous glucose monitor that I've had for a little over a year now, about a year. And that is, instead of poking my finger to see what my blood sugar is at, every 2 weeks I put a little device on my arm that's a little thicker than a toonie that I don't really notice, and I can swim with and exercise with and do all my daily activities with. I can scan that by my phone or a monitor, and it will tell me what my blood sugar is at the moment, and it will give me measurements for every 5 minutes for the last 8 hours. And so this technology, while I was already able to make decisions about what I wanted to do for my daily life before this with the insulin pump and short-acting insulin, the new monitor makes it much easier to control my diabetes, and it gives me a lot of confirmation about what I was feeling with my blood sugars, especially in the mornings. I can wake up in the morning and I can see exactly what my blood sugar has done. So this has made it much easier to manage. There's much less sort of trial and error with trying to figure out how much insulin to take or how certain activities or certain foods affect my blood sugar. I can see exactly what they've done as I go through my day, and it's as simple as just checking my phone. So those are the major technological uses I've had with my diabetes, and they've had a big impact on my life. I think that it the way I live my life and how well controlled my diabetes is has been greatly affected from the time when I was diagnosed to the care that I have now. Big for my support system as well. My mother, as a diabetic nurse, our mother, and she's always been very involved in my care and support and for advocating for me. And so when the insulin pumps had come out, healthcare professionals, they weren't really sure how to use it, how to adjust treatment. There were people who had diabetes who were still trying to confirm everything with their doctors before they made any adjustments to their medication. And so with the insulin pump, I recognized, even as an eight-year-old, that I had all this control. I knew that if I ate something with sugar, I saw my parents adjusting my insulin all the time. If I ate a meal, I'd take some insulin. So I knew I could just push a couple buttons and it meant I could have a brownie. I know with my current one, it's just a small accessory on my arm and it's connected to my phone. So I can still wear any outfit and it still looks good. And it does, even if I'm, say, at the swimming pool, it looks sleek on my arm. So I think that I haven't ever worn it just for the purpose of fashion, but it's nice to have something that looks good and that doesn't stick out. I think they've done a pretty good job of making it sleek. I have a Freestyle Libra, which is my continuous monitor, and it's a little white disc that's a little bigger than a Toonie that's on my arm. And I think they've done a good job of making it fashionable. 90% of the time it doesn't matter, but those 10% of the time it can be important and it can keep people from using it. So I think that they've done a good job. Issues that I have had, if I've had any so far, there haven't been too many. Usually it's if I'm with a group of people that I don't know, or when I was younger, and this is more with the writing issue with adaptive technology, which was using a laptop in class or in an exam, something to type on instead of write. It tends to be more of an issue when people don't really understand, or they have sort of previously held beliefs that are misconceptions. That's when it can be more of an issue, or if they're... So with the laptop, I needed to have a lot of documentation to be able to use a laptop or basically a typewriter to write exams. And it was usually a problem if there was some sort of regulations or if I didn't know a teacher as well and I was writing an exam with them for the first time. Usually as I got to know people better and they understood what this technology actually was, or what the needs were, then I found people to be much more easy to work with, and then it became less of an issue. But maybe more with as a teenager than now, when I'm more comfortable in my own skin. But I think that it's important to recognize that these pieces that people are wearing, you know, it might not look super sleek or fashionable, but it makes a big difference for them, and I think that's something that people should accept and be willing to accommodate.
Lastly, is there anything you would like to say to our listeners on adaptive technology or fashion?
I think I was thinking a bit about this and what the sort of message that I would give would be. I think for people who have disabilities or learning issues or issues with accessibility, I think with the technology, my advice would be to try different things out and find what works for you, and also to try to be open and accepting with telling people about what you're using, and accepting that other people, if you work with someone who uses adaptive technology, to try to accommodate. The difference is, once people accept that people are using this, I think it has a big impact and things go back to normal very quickly. So I think it's good to test things out and let people know, be very open about it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, that was Erin Kaelin Klein, sorry about that, talking about adaptive technology and fashion. So earlier we were going to play Nicole Lee's interview with participants from the Heart of Hearing, young participants that are in the conference in Europe. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we weren't able to play that. However, right after this live show, we will be podcasting, hopefully later today or tomorrow, and we'll get the entire interview in that podcast. So please stay tuned. And now we are going to get into our panel discussion on, of course, adaptive technology and fashion. And we have three panelists here in the studio. So we're going to get each of them to introduce themselves. So panel number one, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, DP. My name is Kevin Chia. If you guys are, if anybody out there is an avid listener of the show, you might recognize me. I used to be, I used to participate more, but I've just been missing for a few months. A little bit about myself. I've been at UBC for a long time. I did my undergrad out here at a Bachelor of Arts in English and History, and then I later went on to law school. I was called to the bar in September of 2016, became a corporate lawyer, and nowadays I'm a business owner. A bit about my disability, I was born hard of hearing. I effectively have no hearing in my right ear, and I have about 30% of my left ear. So I wear a hearing aid in my left ear.
Hi, I'm Allison. I'm Allison, and I am a master's student and at Athabasca University. I am part of the collective, which is awesome. I have a learning issue, which is a hidden disability, but doesn't stop me from doing a lot of stuff.
Hi, everyone. My name is Yat. Contrary to most people in this room, I did not go to school at UBC. I went to SFU and I studied communication. That was many years ago, but currently I'm working for a nonprofit organization called the Western Institute for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, where I manage and lead their communications and marketing efforts. I was born with profound hearing loss on both ears. I also have atresia, a condition where I have really small outer ears, which requires me to wear prosthetics right now. And I also had bone anchor hearing surgery when I was 12 years old. So I wear a bone anchor hearing aid on my right ear. So right now I can only hear on my right side.
Great. And according to you guys, can you give us a quick rundown on what adaptive technology is?
That's a great question, Lydia. So for me, adaptive technology and fashion would be just things that understand my unique context and, you know, in some way or other fit around my disability and how I live. So I guess it would be as simple as, you know, a hat that fit around my hearing aid or a helmet that fit around my hearing aid, things like that.
Adaptive technology for me is having a computer or any type of adaptable technology that helps my quality of life. So that could include having a computer or a tape recorder in class. So it is, it will help me learn, help my quality of life.
That's a great answer, and Lydia, a great question as well. I think adaptive technology to me is an umbrella term that houses technology and assistive devices that allows someone to really be able to use technology to adapt to their current situation, given their circumstances. For myself, I think, you know, an adaptive technology is something like an alarm clock with a bed shaker that helps me wake up when I don't wear my hearing device at night because I can't hear anything, or a notification system where if someone knocks on the door and I'm not wearing my hearing aid, a alarm goes off or a flashing light goes off or a bed shaker wakes me up at the middle of the night knowing that someone's outside the door waiting for me.
Great answers, everyone. When you were a kid, were you into fashion? So we'll start with Allison, maybe. When you were a kid, were you into fashion?
I was very much into fashion, but I was such an awkward child to begin with, and I went to a private school, and at that time, people were going to laugh at me, whatever. Because all of the other girls were wearing those wickedly high platform shoes and wickedly high heels, I wanted to wear them, but I constantly fell because I was so clumsy. Mm-hmm. It was not a good style.
And how about you, Yat?
For me, when I was younger, I thought I was into fashion. Maybe I was, but I would dress up like someone that, you know, mix and match the worst things ever onto my body. Yeah. And no color, you know, matching at all. I would wear like khakis with, you know, long, you know, tapered shirts that is, you know, over my hands and fingers. And I thought the larger I get, as I grow up, I would fit into those shirts, but I guess I didn't. But I always looked up to my mother because I think she's very fashionable. I think I let her down when I was younger. I think now I'm starting to get that back and learning from her and from my friends how to dress. And I think now I'm a little bit more fashionable, slightly.
And how about you, Kevin?
I can sum up fashion in my youth with one phrase, metal band. So the metal band actually came about because I was really insecure about wearing my yonge growing up. I didn't want people to see it and treat me differently. So I grew my hair out. Oh. And I also played a guitar, and it just seemed logical to just go all the way and start a metal band with my friends. So I dressed all in black. There were bullet belts. We played shows live. I probably damaged my hearing more on stage. And it was a great time. Nowadays, it's different.
That's great. But my question, I guess, for that is further. Have you ever had any challenges finding the right clothing or accessory related to your disability?
Yeah, I'll answer that first. So my disability is... You know, I feel that I am lucky that my disability still does not require too much in the way of accommodation. It's right. Just a hearing aid in my ear. Mm-hmm. However, I can tell another story. I've been wearing just, I guess, the standard hearing aid for most of my life, which has a clear ear mold and a flesh-toned hook behind the ear. And I guess the intention, most people just want to hide the technology as much as possible. Mm-hmm. They wanted to blend into their skin. And I guess you could say I went from extreme to extreme. I went from having long hair and hiding it to getting into law school. I still had long hair then. And I did okay in my first year. I got hired downtown. And I don't remember who told me, Kevin, get a haircut. You're going downtown. So I got a haircut. It felt really weird to show my hearing aid for the first time. And then I got used to it. And then I grew to love it. And then I remember going to get my new hearing aid. You know, you get a new one maybe every 2 or 3 years. And it was at the Western Institute of the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, which is where Yad currently works. And my audiologist showed me all the colors. And there's flesh tone, there's purple, there's sparkly ones, and there's black. And I got a completely black one and a completely black ear mold. And I remember she said at the time, we're going to have to custom order this. This is going to be really, really apparent. Like, everyone is going to see it. And I said, that's cool, you know? What do I have to hide? That's my story.
It's so amazing, Kevin, yeah. Because like yourself, growing up, I had really long hair. I covered my hearing aids. I covered my prosthetics because I didn't want people to see. And that was my part of being adaptive to the society, is hiding. But until I got, you know, a shorter haircut and just being free and being myself, I felt like my career was able to lift off that way because now I'm truly myself and no different. And about our question here, it's just so important to find yourself, and it's so important that, you know, adaptive technology and fashion helps us to work in society.
Great stuff. So what are your thoughts on designers or real estaters like Tommy Hilfiger coming up with custom and adaptive clothing lines for diverse abilities? Allison, what is your thoughts?
I think it's great. Like, just being able to have clothing that is like a design label, mm-hmm. I take it, like, and being able to say, yes, I'm wearing Tommy Hilfiger. Yes, I have a disability, but look, I can wear the same clothing as, or the same designers as everybody else, and make me look as normal as possible, right? Right.
Growing up, I always had these shirts where I had really tight crew necks, and they were really hard for me because if I put them on with my prosthetics or hearing aids, it might fall off, and it's just a big nuisance. And especially when I'm trying to change, whether I'm going to the gym or something, they might fall off, and that's very embarrassing and awkward. Just to see Tommy Hilfiger recognize that and to create shirts and fashion that are adaptable for people that are like myself, those who have a cerebral palsy or on wheelchair or whatnot. It's just so amazing, and it's just so uplifting to see as a community person to see that in society.
Very well said. How about you, Kevin? What's your thoughts?
Those were some really good observations. Yeah. I'm going to approach it from a different angle. I think that this new rise in, you know, major designers tackling such an, you know, something that's still won't be capturing like a huge part of the market, right? It's a very specialized kind of clothing still. It's very specialized kind of clothing lines. Mm-hmm. This is really, I think I see it as part and parcel of the rise of online retailing. Mm-hmm. Because with online retailing, you no longer, Tommy Hilfiger doesn't have to worry about where can I reach these folks who need these special kinds of clothing, who need these diverse, you know, articles of clothing. He can just place them online and you reach the world, or at least wherever your company is shipping to, that kind of the world. So it's amazing. It's great.
Well said. How about when you were a kid, and did you use any sort of adaptive technology like computers and other learning aids? So Kevin, we'll go with you first.
Yeah, so the major one was closed captioning. So, you know, the beginning, when I was born in 1988, growing up, we had those old fuzzy TVs of rabbit ears. And I remember there were certain shows that had closed captioning, and those were the ones I loved. The Simpsons had it. Frasier had it. The combination of those two shows probably explains a lot of why I am the way I am today. And then technology became amazing. Computers came around. YouTube came around. Mm-hmm. Captioning came around. Captioning that was automatic came around, where I didn't have to wait for, you know, people to watch a show in a significant amount, and then the captioning society would decide, okay, we'll give this show captioning. I could just click auto caption and anything, and that technology got better over time. So my life is just, I've seen my ability to watch and enjoy media go from narrow to anything. Life is good.
I did use a lot of adaptive technology like computers when I was a kid, because when I was tested when I was really little, they found out that I have really poor written output issues. So physically writing is difficult. I am a lot slower in writing if I have to write something long than an average person. So having a laptop solves the problem because it's just pressing a button and then you get a letter. When laptops first came out to being popular, they were clunky and big and I had to lug it to school, this clunky big thing on my back. Now, a laptop is so much smaller, so much lighter, so much easier. I'm not separated from my peers. My peers in university are more likely to be using computers just in general, and using computers for writing papers and all of that. So I'm one of the crowd, which is nice. And note-taking, because it's adaptive technology, I can also get online lecture notes, which solves the problem of actually making lecture notes by myself, which is so much better for me. I like it.
For me, I was kind of like Kevin as well. I relied heavily on closed captioning, but I was a sports junkie, so I always get the wrong kind of caption for sports live sports TV because they never do it properly. It's not their fault sometimes because of the names, and some, especially in hockey, they have Russian players back then, quite a bit of them, and they always get the names wrong, but I can still remember some of them. One of the adaptive technology I used in school was the FM system. I hated it because that meant everyone else would know that, hey, that one person, that one kid in the corner, the Chinese kid over there, the new immigrant, he's hard of hearing and he's requiring our teacher to wear something different. So I felt like a nuisance, and I felt like it was me embarrassing myself and being awkward as well. So socially, I wasn't too interactive. So growing up, it was more of, you know, okay, well, maybe I wouldn't use it because I don't want people to know. So I kind of stopped using that FM technology. The FM system is something that a teacher would wear, and you, the user like myself, would wear a cable and a telecoil that would plug into my hearing aid where I would hear directly from the source.
Wow, that's so cool. How about now? Like Kevin, you mentioned YouTube and Netflix and things like that are a little bit better, but do you use any unique adaptive technology that is more easier?
So this is an interesting answer. I had access to some of the devices that Yad is alluding to. We share such a similar set of difficulties or challenges. But my hearing loss was, it was right in the cusp of needing it. And I had that choice. And so I refused to use the FM. Yeah. And I made life a lot harder for myself. But I was just a really, really stubborn kid. I was always getting so many pieces of technology, and it just sat in my drawer at home, and they wasted away. And I just wore my hearing aid, and I hid it under a hearing aid. I hid it under my long hair. Nowadays, though, hearing aids have come so, so far.
Yeah.
Back then, if I wanted my hearing aid to connect to a music device, there was a third-party thing that was also running out of battery. If I wanted, you know, basically, I'm wearing a $5,000 computer on my ear that can intelligently, you know, lower certain voices in a crowd depending on whether or not I talk to them more. And when my iPhone starts calling, it immediately tethers by Bluetooth to my hearing aid. It's amazing what a hearing aid can do now compared to when I was a kid. It's also water resistant now. Imagine that. When I was a kid, when it started to rain, I'd run for cover. I'd always get so sad. But nowadays, I just walk around. It's great.
You know, these are certain things that people don't realize. We, being hard of hearing, and we wear hearing aids, have issues with, and we are always so much scarred in a way. Because I myself was, because growing up, my hearing wasn't that advanced. And when I wait in the bus stop for a long period of time, and it was raining on site, like, you know, it's Vancouver for a reason. I get so scarred and I get so anxious because I'm like, when is the bus going to come? Because I can't stand here any longer, or else I have to shell $5,000 for a new hearing aid or something.
Allison, do you want to add anything?
It was mostly like using computers for school, but so I didn't have to worry about that as much, but I did have to worry about like stigma and being seen as a separate human being. So,
okay. And what are your thoughts? What do you think the future will bring with these devices? Meaning in more like decorative to more advanced.
Oh, I've been waiting for this question. One of my favorite video game series growing up is a video game series called Deus Ex, which is Latin for, God in, but Deus Ex Machina, God in the Machine. And it's a series it's a series where you play a futuristic cyborg dude who has lots of things called augmentations. So you can, you know, augment your hand and get blades out of your hand. You can get super sight, super hearing, all of these things. And, you know, I played a whole bunch of video games growing up with that video game series. When I played it for the first time, I thought, this is who I am. This is what I might be in the future. I might have blades coming out of my hands. And my hearing might also, you know, be completely fixed. It might even become better than human.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the point of the series. It was transhumanism, which is to transcend your biology, right? Live 200 years, mm-hmm. jump three you know, floors up. Anyway, I'm done. That's enough nerding out on video games.
How about you, Yet?
I can't wait to see Kevin jump three stories up and on his blades and with his hearing aids and be like, I have bionic hearing and I hear most things that you guys don't. But no, I just love technology right now because just roughly when I got these new hearing aids 2 years ago, I was able to hear on my Bluetooth. I can stream, I could listen to radio directly from the source. It was such an amazing moment that I've never, ever experienced before and never thought I could, because when I was younger, I always pretended I could wear headphones, but I couldn't. So I just put them near around the hearing aids at the time, but it couldn't come close to the experience that a normal person with normal hearing does. So it was very different, but I just love what technology is doing right now. There's Bluetooth capabilities. I think a hearing can be implanted into your head, so there won't be any worry about getting your hearing aids wet. It'll just be like, I'll turn them off on my phone right now. I'll have selective hearing if I wanted to.
And having these technologies, especially made for you, were you ever bullied by your peers?
Yeah, I was, but I don't think it was because of the technology. I think it was because I was just an obnoxious kid. And so I attracted a lot of attention from other boys. I wouldn't say it was because of the hearing aid. Remember that I hit my hearing aid. I deserved what I got in terms of bullying.
How about you, Allison?
I was bullied a lot. To a point where I was a selective mute for 5 years. No, you can't quiet me down half of the time. And I was one of the first kids in my private school to have a computer, like just have a computer on my desk. And, of course, these desks were not big enough for me to have the computer and my textbook open at the same time. So I was obviously separated from the group. Mm-hmm. I looked different because I had this computer and this huge backpack. I had one kid try to steal my computer twice in the same day from me. And I was like, I need this. Like, piece of technology, otherwise I'm not going to be able to learn. I didn't find my parents about like needing help or needing the resources or computers. I fought the students to actually like needing this adaptive technology. I now go like, well, I want to look normal as possible, and people will still see it in me now, like trying to pass as normal. And I did try to pass as normal by trying to write down my notes, physically write down my notes, and that didn't help.
When I was younger, I was certainly bullied quite a bit because of the way physically I looked, because I had small external outer ears. I wore a hearing aid that wasn't as discreet as I have right now. It was a headband that I had to wear. Mm-hmm. And being a new immigrant going to elementary school in the 90s, being a minority as well made me an easy target for people. So I remember being pushed around, not only in the gym, but in classrooms when teachers were out, papers thrown at me and stuff, whatnot. So, I remember those very vividly, and they'll live with me forever. But I'm just so glad that society now is so accepting and friends and family are so accepting that I've been able to be more empowered to be myself and to share with other people that it's okay to have a hearing loss. It's okay to live with disabilities, because there's so much, so many things out there that are better for you, and that you can also be empowered.
Thank you for that. So what are your thoughts on adaptive devices or technology viewed as a fashion accessory.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. It's the leap from me wanting to hide it to me wanting to show it off. Yeah. I can't wait for, like, Dior hearing aids.
I wear a phone clip from the Bone Anchor hearing aid company called Cochlear, and I just clip it on my shirt, or like a lapel, and all my music and stream comes from my phone to the phone clip and into my hearing aid.
Oh, wow.
And what I can also do is so amazing is I can mute my surroundings and just listen to the source. And sometimes I'm on the phone, and when I'm on the phone talking, people are like, who are you talking to? Because I'm kind of looking dead into space or wherever I'm going, and I'm like, oh, hey, look at this, I'm on my phone. And they're like, they pause for a good like 4 or 5 seconds. They're like, what? I don't have this. Can you share this with me? I'm like, yeah, sure, if you get a Bone Anchor hearing aid.
I think it's great. Just like, even though I don't wear hearing aids or like need glasses, I think it's something. And like people, I've seen now people like wear those fake glasses as fashion.
Yes.
And then like now people want to wear glasses and like or like even sunglasses. Like it's a fashion accessory. Protecting your eyes.
Yeah, no, it's just great that I wear a hearing aid as well, so it's not as fancy as you two may have, but it doesn't even look like a device. People think of it as, you know, a fashion accessory, so I take it, I embrace it. So what devices of adaptive technology would you like to see be more fashionable? And yet, maybe we can ask you for that first.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's always something I always want, and you know, in terms of fashion, it's being able to wear hats and helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, I always dreamed about being the current Crosby because I love playing hockey. I always had a stick on my hand, but you know, I could never play professionally because I could never wear a proper helmet.
Right.
And I can't wear a proper helmet because I wear prosthetics, and my current hearing aid is situated where the helmet kind of sits on your head. So if I wear a helmet, I can't hear, and when you can't hear on the ice, that's a very, very tough thing, scary, because you can't hear someone skating behind you, and you can't hear your team talk or communicate with you. So, you know, in terms of, you know, fashion / wish list, mm-hmm. I wish there was a helmet that fits me.
I can relate. I'm 23 years old. I don't care about living or dying. I get a bike, and I get a full-face helmet. And the first time I pull on my full-face bike helmet, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with my hearing aid. And it was always a struggle.
Yeah.
I would wish for better motorbike helmets for people who wear hearing aids, for the risky ones.
So what are the benefits of adaptive technology that is fashionable?
It makes people proud to wear it, and it makes people it helps to battle insecurity, and that's the goal for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
Disability or not.
One thing I'm really looking forward to is in April when I go on my Asia trip is to be able to fly on a plane and be able to hear the infotainment for the first time. These are certain things that people take for granted when you're flying, but I've never been able to listen to music or watch the movies on the infotainment system because it never kind of plugs into my hearing aid, and I can't wear those headsets because it would be so loud on the plane. So I've been equipped with a multi kind of clip that allows me to plug the headphone jack in there and wirelessly transmit the same music or sound from the infotainment to my hearing aid and be able to hear directly from the source. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Awesome. So what are the, what do you think are the disadvantage or problems with fashionable adaptive technology?
Hard question to answer.
I know.
I don't really think, for me, off the top of my head, I don't see any disadvantages with making the devices that people have to wear anyway sexier, better, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
I think the major disadvantage really is having to constantly clean the system or check the batteries, because, you know, you would wear them and you don't know when they would kind of die on you, because they do charge and they do take up quite a bit of battery and usage right now with the technology in place. I mean, that's the only disadvantage I can see. It's mostly positive.
So, just to conclude our panel, unfortunately, is there anything that you would like to give your thoughts on before we end the show? What do you think adaptive technology can do better, I guess, in terms of the future, and what is working and what is not working?
I really encourage people to look for adaptive technologies like assistive devices for their day-to-day use, alarm clocks with bench shakers, even notification wristbands that you can wear and tie them to your phones so it vibrates. It's just so amazing to have that with you. It's just a really cool tool. That being said, you know, I also encourage people to look for, you know, fashion that helps support the cause. Currently, I'm also on my side hustle. I try to connect fashion and hard of hearing together, which is why I started Acoustic Wear, is to, you know, start up a brand that helps people raise awareness about hard of hearing and people who are deaf. So I have three lines of shirt that says "Pardon Me," with a D that has a little cupping on the hand, a question mark with a hearing aid, "Here I Stand" and "I Am Me." So I encourage you guys to check that out. You can visit me where I'm at. I work at WID, Western Institute for Deaf and Hard of Hearing, but also go on acousticwear.com to find more about me as well.
Awesome.
I think to accept the person for who they are and to be able to go with the flow and go with the flow with whatever they need.
I think the future is bright and I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, thank you so much to all of our wonderful guests for sharing their experiences and insight here. We're on our way out, but if you're interested in working with us further, shoot us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
And thank you to our panelists and guests, Allison, Kevin, Yet, for coming in and talking to us today. Clovis for sending us audio file on his challenges with adaptive and technology. And Aaron for allowing us to interview him. We also like to say a big thank you to the young and hard of hearing participants from the conference happening in Europe, and our collective member, Nicole Lee. And remember, we will have that interview after we do the podcast, right after this live show.
Please like us on All Access Pass Facebook page.
And if you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow All Access Pass at @access_CITR.
And if you want to listen to this show again, a third time, check it out at CITR.ca under All Access Pass.
Thank you for listening and tune in to all new episodes of All Access Pass in 2 weeks, Wednesdays at 2 p.m.
Stick around for more CITR programming coming up right up next. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
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 Bye, Grandpa.
See ya.